Hello, fellow football fans. I'm Scotty Ball, and thanks, as always, for visiting those of us here with Vikings Digital Diaries at thesportsdaily.com for what is hopefully to be your final Super Bowl preview analysis show of some kind before the big game kicks off here this Super Sunday, February 5th, 2017. And I am calling this show Scotty Ball's Bowl by Numbers. This is my first Super Bowl preview here with the Vikings Digital Diaries team, and I'm hoping that somebody likes it enough for it to become an annual thing. But I'll give you the premise here for Bowl by Numbers, what the theme behind this show is. Now, if you're anything like me, and hopefully you're not too much like me, you have heard tons of sports talk and analysis and predictions and statistics leading up to the big game here today between the Atlanta Falcons, go Falcons, and the New England Patriots. Tom Brady won for the thumb. But I have constantly found myself throughout these past 2 weeks listening to all these people talk about the Super Bowl preview and just, in my opinion, citing all kinds of ridiculously irrelevant statistics and information. And I'm sitting here and I'm thinking to myself, whoop-de-doo, what does it all mean, Basil? Well, that's what Bowl by Numbers is all about, where I have taken painstaking time and effort to acquire all of the statistics for both teams involved, both regular season and postseason, and we have analyzed them, and we have filtered out all the ones that I don't feel are going to play a factor in today's game that just kind of, you know, are there to cloud everything up. And so we're going to give you the necessities of the information and also take it one step further and look at how both sides' numbers combine with each other to give us what I feel is a fair, unbiased, mathematical formula to set our baseline for expectations on this game. Now, that's not to say it's an exact prediction that we get from these numbers, but we get a really good idea of kind of, you know, if everything just sort of holds true to form, you know, these are the expectations that we should have. This is a likely outcome. And so now that you know the goal of this, like I said, hopefully your final Super Bowl preview show before the big game here today, 5:30 kickoff time, Central Standard Time approximately, let's get underway. Now, the first numbers that I want to look at that I feel people are neglecting too much and are some of the most important numbers, you know, that tell us where we need to be looking for our information, is the numbers 5 and the number 1. The number 5, because that's how many games the Falcons lost this year. And the number 1, because that's how many games the Patriots lost this year with Tom Brady as quarterback. It's a perfect spiral. And that in itself has been one of my biggest issues with most sports analysis in this previous 2 weeks leading up to the game, is everybody, and I understand why, because it's the fun, exciting, numbers and elements to the game, but everybody wants to look at the big numbers of the big games and the wins of what they did well. And in my opinion, that's like maybe 5 to 10% of what the coaches are actually looking at. They're looking at what happened to make these teams lose when they lost. That is much more relevant information right now than what did they do that got them to this point. We all know what these teams like to do and who they are. We all know that the Falcons want to throw the ball to Julio Jones and have him have a big game, and that they've got two great running backs, and that Matt Ryan threw 13 touchdown passes this year to 13 different wide receivers over the course of the season, an NFL record. We know he likes to pass the ball around. We know that their defense is young and talented, but very, you know, hit and miss and not all that overly imposing. And then we know who the Patriots are. They've got 23 guys on their team that was on their last Super Bowl winning roster. Tom Brady is playing in his 7th Super Bowl. Okay, so we know all of the strengths of these teams. So it's really a waste of time to put all our focus on the strengths and how did they stop the strengths. Don't focus on the strengths. Focus on when they were weak. Okay, that's going to tell you how to game plan and what both teams are going to be trying to do in order to win. Because in order to win this game, they have to beat the other team. or you have to not beat yourself. And I don't think, I mean, let's face it, the Patriots are not going to beat themselves in the Super Bowl. Too much experience. Falcons, on the other hand, that is a potential variable or outside factor in this outcome, is their lack of experience. But sometimes that helps as well. You never know. So we won't put too much stock into the experience thing, but I felt it worth bringing up. But so since the Patriots only have the one loss that we're looking at here, let's start with them. Their one loss came with Tom Brady. I mean, they have one loss before Brady came back, which we're not referring to. Different team, in my opinion. So they have the one loss with Tom Brady quarterbacking the team this year, and it came, ironically enough, after their bye week, which I think is somewhat interesting and relevant here too, versus the Seattle Seahawks. Very good team, good competition. We've heard a lot about Belichick having 2 weeks to prepare. Heard tons about that all week. 2 weeks for Belichick, 2 weeks for Belichick, you know. And while that does tend to be true in his history, if you look at when the Patriots have struggled most this year, it was following their bye week with their one and only loss with Tom Brady. And then even in their first playoff game this year, they played a terrible Houston team. And they weren't overly impressive. I mean, they won by double digits. I think it was like 35-19 or 30-19 or somewhere in there. But they weren't dominant. They weren't, you know, they both times they've had an extra week off this year, they have come out the next week and not quite played their best football. One time it resulted in a loss, one time it didn't. But again, I think that was due to the level of the competition they were facing. And this week they are facing a very high level of competition in the Atlanta Falcons. Make no mistake, Falcons are no joke. They're here because they deserve to be here. But so getting back to the Patriots loss, when I looked at their one loss at the box score and what numbers stood out that were different from all the other games that they had won, the one obvious exception was that that's the only game this season where the Patriots have turned the ball over multiple times. Like, both teams, Patriots and Falcons, have been phenomenal at protecting the ball this year. And I think, I want to say they're like first and third in the NFL in the least amount of giveaways, which everyone says, it just goes to prove, you know, that cliche that turnovers are more often than not determine who wins and loses a football game. And so it's very obvious that if you want to beat these Patriots, you've got to get them to turn the ball over at least once. And that has been no easy task for anybody this year. Also in that loss to Seattle, the Patriots rushed for under 100 yards. They failed to hit 100 yards rushing. And they actually average 112.6 rushing yards per game, regular season, and playoffs. So that is another key. And then the one final thing that stood out in that one to me was that they gave up over 300 yards passing. So if you can stop the Patriots from running the ball or, you know, contain their run, if you can establish some passing success on their defense, and if you can get them to commit some turnovers, that is the recipe that we have on file right now, currently, recently, for beating the New England Patriots. That is the only current formula we have. And so we're going to have to expect that that would have to hold true to see that outcome again. This bowl by numbers is trying to be very unbiased, very just fair mathematical down the line. So now let's switch our attention over to the Falcons' five losses, which started in week one against Tampa Bay, and their final loss was in week 13 by 1 point against the Kansas City Chiefs in that crazy ending where there was an intercepted two-point conversion returned for a touchdown that ended up being the difference in the game. So kind of a fluke loss in a way. But in three of the Falcons' five losses, they dropped from averaging 118 yards, rushing yards per game. That's what the Falcons are averaging, so they're very dependent on that running game offensively as well. In three of their five losses, they ran for 52 yards or less as a team. So, I mean, that's pretty inarguable. If you can not just contain, but if you can shut down that two-headed backfield, the best running attack in all of football, in my opinion, this past season, and Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman, if you can shut them down, let Julio go off. It ain't going to result in the Falcons winning the game, and that's why you're not going to hear me talk much at all, more than right now, about Julio Jones. Because while he is one of the big names and one of the stars of the game, when we look at the numbers for the Falcons throughout the season in wins and losses, Julio's production, it really doesn't impact the wins and losses as directly as a lot of the other stuff, like Matt Ryan's distributing the ball around to everybody and the running game getting over that 100 yards and helping control the tempo, time of possession, because they need to keep that defense off their field. The Falcons' defense is not the strength of their team by any means. So that, I mean, that's huge. They've shown that more than once they can really struggle to run the ball. So guarantee you the Patriots are looking at those three game films where the Falcons lost and ran as a team for 52 yards or less. Now, other numbers for the Falcons that I'd like to bring in here before we move on is that another thing that really stood out when looking through their entire season, and this was impressive because their defense has been, you know, not respected very much, and I'm guilty of that as well. I haven't been respecting their defense very much. But there are only three games this entire season that the Falcons' defense did not force at least one turnover. Which is, to me, that's very impressive. So combining that, we can combine that with knowing that the Patriots have to turn the ball over to lose, you know, based off of what we've got as well. We see that the Falcons, well, they've got a chance at that. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but odds are that they're going to get them to turn the ball over once, and if they can pull it off a second time, that should really swing you know, the outcome of the game in the Falcons' favor. It really should. But they're going to have to win that battle. Like, they can't have a push. They can't have zero turnovers to zero turnovers or one turnover to one turnover. They need to win that battle against the Patriots, where the Patriots have more turnovers in this game than the Falcons do. Or I really don't think that, like I said, enough's going to shift numerically to get the Falcons the victory. Other interesting numbers here real quick that are not in the Falcons' favor. Matt Ryan won the NFL MVP award last night for the regular season, as he should have. And interestingly enough, since 2001, seven other regular season MVPs have made it to the Super Bowl. And their record is 0-7. Ooh, yeah, that's right. In this millennium, there has never been a regular season MVP to go on and win the Super Bowl. And they've had seven chances. Yikes. Those are some rough numbers. Also not good numbers for the Falcons. Five times in the Super Bowl era, the number one offense has went up against the number one defense. We saw this as recently as last year when the Panthers took on the Broncos. And, of course, I'm speaking scoring offense and scoring defense, not yards. We saw it with the Seahawks and the Broncos a few years before that. Five times it has happened, and the number one defense has won four of those five times. The Patriots in this game being the number one defense, the Falcons being the number one offense. And finally, let's at least give the Falcons a little bit of hope again. A good number for them that I found interesting: in eight consecutive games, they have taken the opening possession to the house. So very crucial for the Falcons to start hot, as they have been, and get that confidence and get some momentum. And also, I think that is going to play into the coin toss, where whichever team wins the coin toss, they will elect to receive. And that will be a slight change of pace from Belichick. He tends to be like me, knowing that when you have the better team and you are the favorite, it is better, you more often than not, the best choice to kick if you win the coin toss, because you want that extra possession coming out of halftime. You want to start the second half with the ability to add to your lead, not to have to come out and make a stop right away. But so, like I said, look for if the Patriots win the coin toss, look for them to receive and try to keep the Falcons' offense off the field from coming out and starting the game 7-0. Belichick and the Patriots definitely do not want that. All right, so now we're going to move on to our second set of numbers, which is the averages, what the teams do throughout the season. And this is a combined rushing, or this is combined regular season and postseason. I've mentioned some of these numbers already, but reminding them. Patriots averaging 112.5 rushing yards per game. Falcons averaging 118 rushing yards per game. Putting that up against the other team's rushing defense, okay, now this it tells us something. The Patriots' rushing defense is fantastic, giving up only 87.5 rushing yards per game. The Falcons' average is giving up 104 a game. So if we take some good old math and we just find the middle of these numbers, that leads us to believe that the rushing yards for the Patriots in this game should be about 108.5, somewhere in there, and the Falcons will actually drop to about 103.5. So the Patriots should have a little easier time running the football, and that's kind of where our expectations are for the output. Like I said, we're establishing a baseline with math. I know it's scary, okay? Numbers, ew, gross, but mark my words, this is, you're going to be very impressed with how much of this is, you know, pretty close to what we see here this evening in the big game. And then, let's see, the passing game for these two teams, the Patriots average 275.5 per game, the Falcons average 302. Putting that up against the other team's defense, the Patriots average giving up 240 passing yards a game, so very good still. Which is another reason that over 300 in their one loss factored in there as well, because it's not the norm, you know, that's not how they win games. The Falcons' defense gives up an average of 265.5 passing yards per game. So then we combine those numbers, we find the middle, and we should expect it to be pretty much dead even. Patriots expected to get 270.5 passing yards. Falcons, 271. Wow, so our yards expectations only have the total yards, rushing and passing combined, we have the Patriots coming out about 5 yards on top. 4 yards on top, maybe, somewhere in there. So pretty even. Like, we like that. That suggests that maybe we're going to have a good competitive game. I'm hoping. I think that's all that any of us wants. Now we're going to look into two more statistics that we haven't talked a lot about lately. Points, both offensive points scored and defensive points allowed, and then turnovers, offensive turnovers committed and defensive turnovers generated. The Patriots are averaging 28.5 points a game. The Falcons are averaging 34.5 points a game. But now we put that up against the other team's defense. That's all fine and dandy on its own, but we got to put it up against this matchup. The Patriots, number one scoring defense, only giving up an average of 15.7 points per game. The Falcons, on the other hand, just under 25. At 24.8 points a game they're giving up. That is not a good statistic. So we merge those numbers together on each side, and it puts the Patriots' point line at 26.6. We'll round it up to 27, since you can't score 26.6 points. And it puts the Falcons' points expectations at 25. So we've got, just based off of the, you know, the patterns and averages of the points between, we've got a two-point game. Patriots on top, and it just so happens that the Vegas line on this game is the Patriots by 3. So, yeah, I don't know, maybe this math stuff, there's something to it. We'll have to watch and find out. But finally, turnovers. Really hard to predict what's going to happen in this game turnovers-wise, but I can very confidently predict what those turnovers will cause, what the effects of those turnovers will be should they happen. The Patriots average 0.8 turnovers per game committing, and the Falcons 0.6. Unbelievable. Like I said, these two teams protect the football. They don't turn it over. It is proof that turnovers decide wins and losses in the NFL. And the defenses, Patriots generating 1.6 turnovers per game, Falcons generating 1.4. So we combine those numbers, and the turnover expectation is 1.1 for each team. So no surprise, it's not going to, shouldn't really affect anything if Ryan throws a pick or if Brady throws a pick. It's who does it happen to the second time, if it happens a second time. That's going to be what moves that two-point meter in one team's favor, either to a bigger margin of victory by the Patriots or hopeful victory by the Atlanta Falcons. All right, so to close the podcast out here, I think we should get to some predictions, some official predictions. I'm going to take what I've learned throughout my research for the show here, and I'm going to apply it as unbiased as possible. And we're going to set some official predictions, and we'll also, you know, talk just a tiny bit about MVP possibilities too, because we haven't really singled out a whole bunch of players. We've been really talking more about the teams and the strategy. So, as we just discussed, our mathematical baseline for the game, if everything were to hold true to form and averages, is Patriots 27, Falcons 25. Now, I did mention early on in the podcast that there are always variables, and that's the impossibility, you know, when it comes to predicting things. I do feel that experience, confidence, these things are going to play a small variable, and they are in the favor of the Patriots. I also feel that the overall well-roundedness of the teams almost always plays into a variable in this type of big game, and that also is in the Patriots' favor. So, with all the variables that I can think of working out in the Patriots' favor, and the Patriots already having a two-point baseline, I am going to add a field goal to the Patriots, and I am going to subtract a field goal from the Falcons. That is how I feel they're going to respond to their baseline. I feel the Patriots are going to just slightly overachieve, and I feel like the Falcons are going to just slightly underachieve. So taking a field goal away from the Falcons from our baseline, adding a field goal to the Patriots, my official prediction for Super Bowl 51 is the New England Patriots 30 and the Atlanta Falcons 22. Now, when it comes to MVP prediction, boy, the Patriots are a tough one. I mean, obviously Tom Brady's always, you know, a really strong candidate. But seeing all their different strengths and the different ways that they can win games as a team, it would be absolutely no shock whatsoever if LeGarrette Blount ran for 100 yards and two or three touchdowns and ended up being the MVP. It would be no shock whatsoever if Martellus Bennett caught two or three touchdown passes in fill of Gronk and was MVP. It would be no shock whatsoever if one of their defenders, who is able to pick off Matt Ryan once or cause a fumble or sack Matt Ryan two or three times, would not shock me whatsoever if any one of their defenders who could do that would get MVP. So tons and tons of potential candidates. My official prediction is that Tom Brady, in one for the thumb, is becoming the first quarterback ever to win 5 Super Bowls and with the same team the whole time and the same coach. Just absolutely remarkable. I think that's the story. I think that's the outcome. I think that's your MVP. But limitless options on the Patriots side. Now, on the Falcons side, should they be able to do the couple key things that we discussed? turn the Patriots over, hold them to under 100 rushing yards, and pass for over 300 yards. Those are the three things that the Falcons have to do to win this game. We know it for a fact because Seattle did it and Seattle won the game. Multiple turnovers, under 100 rushing yards, over 300 passing yards. That's what the Falcons got to do to the Patriots. Hold them to under 100 rushing yards. Pass for over 300 on them. And get some turnovers. It's going to be really hard. But knowing that the MVP has to win the game and that that's what the Falcons have to do to win the game, it pretty much immediately rules out Julio Jones and would then make Matt Ryan or Devontae Freeman your more likely offensive MVPs, knowing then also the one thing we forgot, that the Falcons have to rush for over 100, they have to have a good rushing performance to win this game. If they don't run the ball, they will lose. We learned that for a fact here earlier in the podcast. So, combining everything that we learned about the Falcons in the podcast, if they were to make it happen, do what they need to do and win the game, you're going to have a running back as your MVP or maybe Matt Ryan, but I think the MVP of the Falcons, should they win, will be Vic Beasley or some other surprise, lesser known, lesser named defender who is able to create some turnovers, get some sacks, wreak some havoc, and keep that Patriots offense in check so that the Falcons offense has the opportunity, you know, to outshoot them in a shootout. Would be absolutely stunned if the Falcons won the game and Julio Jones was MVP. That would, I think the odds for that are incredibly terrible. I think Vic Beasley being MVP is way more likely. But again, in order for that to happen, Falcons are going to have to win the game. Can they create those two or more turnovers? Can they hold the Patriots' rushing attack to under 100 yards? Can they take that Patriots defense that only averages allowing 240 yards through the air, and can they get 300-plus passing yards on them? Well, that's what we're going to watch and find out. Can't wait. Super Bowl Sunday. Love it every year. Thank you so very much, as always, for visiting us here with Vikings Digital Diaries at thesportsdaily.com. Make sure to keep regularly checking the site for all of the great content we've got on there from our amazing team. Plenty of variety here as the offseason will officially be underway after tonight. And finally, if you are going to be partaking in partying festivities to enjoy this Super Bowl 51 here today, make sure you do it safe and responsibly so that we can hang out again sometime in the near future. All right, well, that's it for me. I'm out of here. I am off to start getting in the mood to watch Super Bowl 51 here. I hope you all enjoy it. I hope we get a fantastically great, entertaining, competitive game. And until next time, I'm Scotty Ball. Go Falcons!